Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
With delirious joy, they've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierly and the amazing Philip James Unger. Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this show. This is the program that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markungor.com. ask@markungor.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us a question about anything. We are the one program where you can ask all the questions nobody else will answer. We'll take on anything, hence the warning at the beginning of the show. The show does not intend to be crude. It's just that a lot of people have questions about sex, and apparently Christians don't have sex, so Christians can't ask anybody about sex. Well, obviously that's ridiculous, and we know people have questions about it. We will answer those questions. Whatever your problem is, whatever your question is, you can ask us. Nobody will know who you are. In return, we are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. In a world, a sea of Christian programming, where everybody's so concerned about how you feel, we don't care how you feel. All right? I think we've gone a little crazy on the whole feeling thing. We'll just tell you the truth. And for those of you who get nervous sometimes, I can't believe you say that to that person that way. They all know it's coming, okay? We warn them ahead of time via the email. So all you people just relax, for heaven's sakes. Where's my pen? There it is. All right. Anyway, if we like what you say, we will celebrate your thinking. If we not, we will castigate your thinking. Three versions of castigation on the show. One, we will stick your head in the toilet, flush it, and give you a swirly, where the water swirls around your head, and hopefully the splashing of the water will wake you out of your delusional state. If we think you're just crazy, you'll get the goat button. And no one knows why it's a goat. And if you blather on too long on your email, short emails, people, you'll get the chicken if you talk too much. If you get all three, then you are officially crazy. All right, what do you got over there for
us
today?
Okay, new study out of the UK says around 65% of women use the promise of sex as a reward, while only 11% of men said that they have done the same. The most common behaviors rewarded with sex were helping around the home, giving the woman a gift or a treat, and looking after family members, including children. Men were most likely to reward their partners with sex for letting them watch sports either on TV or in real life, or allowing them a night out with their friends. Mm-hmm. 78% of people questioned as a part of the study thought that there was nothing wrong with rewarding a partner with sex. Apparently, intimacy is somewhat of a weapon when it comes to getting what you're getting your partner to do what you want, but it seems like no one seems to mind.
All right. There are a few things in my ministry over these last decade plus that get people mad at me. This is one of them. Mm-hmm. Okay? So everyone try and listen to what I'm saying. Pay attention, class. Because people only hear what they want to hear, and then as soon as you hear something that doesn't sound right, they jump on you. And they kill you. All right, so just relax and don't send me an email about what your thoughts on it, because I don't care. What part of this says I care? I don't care what you think. These are people asking what I think. All right, now, first of all, there are a lot of people in the Christian community who think reward structure is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they haven't read, I don't know, the Bible. The whole thing is reward structure. Now, there's people who say, I don't think you should ever give your children rewards for what they do. And I don't think people should be rewarded. And we're supposed to do it because... Oh, how come God doesn't do that? They act so righteous, these people, but they're so full of baloney. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Whoops, running over. Will men give into your bosom? One word command and like 40 words for the promise. The Bible is replete with do this and I will do this. If you do this, I'll do this. I will bless you. I will promise you. If reward structure is wrong, then why did Jesus do that? Why didn't Jesus say give? End. Story. Done. Just give. Why didn't the Bible just say tithe? Tithe. Give God 10%. Done. Done. Why does God have... He's God, right? Mm-hmm. Why does he have to explain anything to anybody? But he says, if you will do it, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on you, you won't be able to contain it. This is constantly the Bible is replete from the Old Testament throughout the New. He that endures to the end shall sit with me in my throne. There's the promise. There's the reward. There's the payoff. Mm-hmm. Live with me and my Father throughout eternity. Anybody who comes along and says reward structure is wrong, I don't know what idealistic fantasy world you live in, but you are delusional, and it is not biblical. Goodness gracious.
Well, then they should just go to work out of the goodness of their
soul.
That's
right.
They shouldn't have to be
paid
for what they do.
You should just, if God's given you this job, you should just do this job. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great prophecy. I'm going to quit paying all y'all.
Because
then I'll have more money. More money, more money, more money. Praise God. If you really love Jesus and you feel called to this job, you'll do it even if I don't. Well, I barely pay you anyway. She's kind of doing that anyway. So anyway, this idea that reward is evil mm-hmm. is fundamentally wrong from a biblical worldview. So all you women who get so mad at the idea of using sex as a reward, not so inappropriate stuff like that. Now here's the exaggeration, because people tend to, you can tell they're having a knee-jerk reaction and they're not thinking with their brains. A lot of them don't have any brains. They're just jerk, emotional. Is they immediately use it and rephrase it as a person did in this article.
Mm-hmm. It's the W word.
A weapon.
Yeah. Yep.
Isn't it amazing? No one said anything about a weapon here. Mm-hmm. And isn't it amazing that in this article, the people are saying, yeah, well, I use this as incentive in our marriage, and hey, do this for me, and we'll get a roll in the hay later, and you know. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the greatest things you can do, woman, to get a guy to do things for you. He doesn't want to do.
It's kind of fun, too, actually.
And it's playful.
Unless you're stupid.
But immediately, these psycho-crazy women are, that's a weapon. You're using sex as a weapon. Well, first of all, if you're going to kill me, and I get to choose a weapon.
Please let it be that.
Please. Please, sex me to death. All right? Nobody said weapon. The minute you throw in a weapon proves you're crazy. For heaven's sakes. Where's my crazy music? I gotta find some crazy music here. Here's a good crazy music. How about this one?
Crazy. I'm crazy for thinking in
the way you think. For heaven's sakes. Immediately. It's a weapon. You're saying sex. No one said use it as a weapon. How do you jump from playful, motivating things that people do in their marriage and immediately throw it in the context of what that they did in the article, and that's what people do all the time.
I know.
And it is the one area where I will talk about, and I will get a sea of criticism. I've had pastors call our office who say they're not going to have anything to do with our materials because I advocate using sex as a weapon. They're crazy. Mm-hmm. Nobody said anything about a weapon. It is a reward system. And what are you girls saying, by the way? What are you pastors saying? That a woman has to give sex just because the guy said so? I mean, if there's no tie to behavior or anything, just come on, woman, put it out. Come on, woman. Sex on demand? I mean, what are you trying to say here? God uses incentive constantly. Why can't couples in their marriage use sex or anything else? I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. There's couples who have lives that are fun and energetic do this all the time.
You know your Duck Dynasty show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just see a little preview they have for the upcoming season.
No. What they do?
There's a thing in there, and Willie's wife's getting him to do something, and she said, there's two ways to get a Robertson man to do something. One, make him think it's his idea, and two, We reserve for special occasions.
Sex. Everybody, people who have normal, healthy, fun marriages do this all the time. The rest of you, and thankfully it's a small percentage. Most of the people who react to this and call it a weapon, it's a very small percentage. Mm-hmm. Of all the people I've had throughout the years of doing this ministry, it's been a very small percentage of pastors and women who call saying, you're using, you know, they're just crazy. I can't, just thank God I didn't marry a woman like this. Mm-hmm. When people talk like this, I just think how awful it is that somebody actually married you. How horrible. They're stuck with you. There's no joy in their marriage. It sucks the life out of them. No rewards for anything. You shouldn't reward your mm-hmm. children. All this. Good grief. Thank God. I'm not married to one of those people. I don't even know any. I don't even want you as my friend. Stay away from me. Good grief. There is nothing inappropriate about this.
No.
And I argue this is a healthy thing that people do all the time. Normal, healthy people use all kinds of things as playfully as motivations mm-hmm. and stuff, and immediately a bunch of women, you're using sex as a weapon. No one said weapon. You're the one who used it as a weapon. See, they're sick in their heads. Mm-hmm. That's why anyone who goes to weapon means there's something wrong with their head. Yeah. No one said weapon. And anyone who says that you shouldn't reward people for what they do, you clearly do not understand the Bible. Anyway, that's all I got to say about this. Don't send me an email. If you don't agree, I really don't care. We'll take a break. We'll be back with your emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
This podcast of the Mark Gunger Show is being brought to you by Chrysler. I wish. Or Ford Motor Company. Somebody with lots of money. No,
how
we
about
have
Apple?
Apple, that would be fabulous. No, but we do have a wonderful sponsor who doesn't give out as much money as those other guys, but we appreciate them nonetheless. It is audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks. Over 100,000 titles of books you can listen to as you drive or walk around or do whatever it is that you do, walking around the house, doing the laundry, washing this, that, or the other. At work, when you're at a meeting and you don't really want to listen to your boss.
Excuse me?
You put in your headphones.
Not listening.
And you're playing an audiobook and you're going, mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Because the danger is they might ask you a question. Yeah. By the way, you ever been in a meeting where yes. somebody asked you a question yes. and you weren't paying attention?
Yes.
What'd you do?
I'm sorry. What?
No, I did. Let me tell you what I did. It was hilarious. I was at this is when I had a video production company. I wasn't at ministry at the time. Video production company. And we were doing some high rollers. We're in Washington, D.C.
Longest promo ever.
And we're shut up over there. This is for audible.com. Okay, so I'm in the meeting and I'm freaking out. I mean, I'm fantasizing. My mind's in a million different places because I'm here with all these people and these major political leaders and stuff like that. And at some point, all I heard is,
"What do you think?"
So, Mark, what do you think? And for a split second, I thought, "Ah!" Because I had no idea what they were saying. And I went like this. I went, I don't know, Larry, what do you think? And then he jumped in.
Good. That was a good
answer. And then I caught up right away.
That was good.
Because the greatest compliment is to ask somebody what they think.
Yeah.
So they asked me, I don't know, well, what do you think? You know, deferring to someone else. And then I caught up.
That's
and I
good. Gave Better
cents.
Than what I would
anyway,
say.
Anyway, so don't listen to audible.com on a meeting because that could happen to you. Listen to the listeners of the show. If you'll go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, you can get a free download of any book that you like. You'll also get a 30-day free trial. So go check it out. People, audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Do it today.
Talking on my television. Some mean old preacher with his bad religion.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show. Music by Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. The Electric Rev. I love his music.
I know you said that that's all you had to say and that you were done with that, but I'm
about
not
what?
Done.
What were
just
we?
Using
Someone
sex
just
as a
tuned
weapon
in. They
thing?
Have no idea what you're talking about.
The article started off about using sex as a reward, how a lot of women, majority of women use it.
Yes, as a reward.
It's a playful kind of a thing, and you think it's fine. But when they say you're using sex as a weapon, that they're a crazy psycho.
Yeah.
And that people don't believe in reward and all that.
Uh-huh.
So apparently, I'm just some big, mean, terrible woman, which I might be.
You are.
But in our house, with my children, we use both money and food as weapons as well.
Weapons.
Because when they don't do what they're supposed to do, guess what? They don't get their allowance. So I have been known to use money as a weapon.
Apparently, you're evil.
if I say we're going to go to, you know, see a movie and get ice cream, if you get the garage cleaned out, or if you clean your rooms, or if you do this, mow the lawn for me, then I take my kids for ice cream. So apparently I, too, use food as a weapon.
I'm telling you, there are people who teach that this is bad from a Christian worldview. They don't understand the Bible. I know them personally, some people like this. I think they're sweet people, but they're just, thank God I wasn't raised in a family like that, and I'm glad I don't have to live with these people. But what an icky way to live your life. And they don't understand the Bible. And not only does God promise you rewards if you do the right thing, he promised to kick your butt if you do the wrong thing. You get both sides of it. In fact, if God doesn't kick your butt, the Bible says you're not even a child of God. The fact that God disciplines you and brings... You know, so anyway.
But I find that women who have such a hard time with this sex thing, with rewarding their husbands or whatever, that they do the very same thing. I mean, that they'll actually reward and do it with their kids, but they think it doesn't apply, and they're very opposed to doing it.
Money says this. I would bet that the women and the people who complain about this have terrible sex lives.
Of course they do.
I bet you they're cold, nasty people to live with anyway.
I bet so.
I'll bet you anything. There's not a lot of joy there.
Well, if you can't even be
you shouldn't use sex as a weapon. The only reason they would even respond that way is because that's what they do.
Yeah.
It's all a weapon to them. And they're always this, that, and the other.
They're more likely to use a weapon as a weapon.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, end up using the weapon, the real weapon.
Anyway, I just think it's sad.
Yeah.
Anyone who tells you that you shouldn't use reward with your children or your husband or anything does not understand the Bible. It's just that simple. All right.
Okay, first email says, his subject line actually is, how do I get women to leave me alone?
What a terrible problem.
That caught my attention.
He Single says, guy, obviously.
I am a 25-year-old man that works in a very professional field. In my last three jobs, I have been constantly approached by older women, two who have been married. Two of them were married. I'm not a super attractive
older or old?
Older.
Old says, like older. You or just older?
Well, one was like 39.
Not old.
Not
I'm
really
sorry,
old.
I'm older than 39 too, so thank you very much for pointing that out to the world. He says, I'm not a super attractive person, I don't think, and I'm not a flirt. These have all been extremely attractive women, I guess like me. And unfortunately,
yes,
twice I have yielded to temptations and carried on short-term intimate relationships with them. I've repented, won't be doing this in the future. That being said, I did ask the last one, who was supermodel hot, he says, why she kept coming on to me. And her response was that I put out a vibe and that I seem dangerous. I have no idea what she meant by that, and she wouldn't explain further. So this brings me to my question. How many women actually hit on younger men, and what can I do to keep this from happening?
Number one, it's a problem I've had all my life.
Sure, you have. Sure, you have.
Actually, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Women throwing themselves.
I don't have too many women just, my guess is he says I'm not that attractive. That's probably not true.
Probably better looking.
If he has hot super babe women throwing themselves, he's a pretty good looking guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's probably both, he says, I have a nice job. He probably holds some kind of position of power and has what every woman loves.
Or very charismatic, because sometimes guys who are extraordinarily charismatic and great personalities, even if they don't have the looks, women will be all about that.
Maybe he has an eye patch, because they say he looks dangerous. He's got a vibe about him.
He's got tattoos.
Maybe he looks like a pirate. Arg, 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 matey. And almighty, when you come in every morning with a parrot on your shoulder. That's not a parrot, but as close as I got. A parrot on your shoulder and an eye patch. Arg, 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 arg. Maybe that's what they mean.
How many women hit on older men? Yeah, I mean, older women hit on younger men?
I don't know. It doesn't really matter. And it doesn't matter why. You're sounding more like a woman, dude. Women are obsessed with whys.
Why is that?
Are you a man or you're a woman? If you're a man, unless you're a girly man, maybe he's a girly man. I don't know. I don't know this guy.
I don't think you can insult the guy that's got supermodel hot women.
Yeah,
he can't be a girly man. He must be a good-looking guy.
He
must be a man. Well, quit thinking like a woman. Why is that? Why? Who cares? Just stop it. I don't care if they throw themselves at you.
You don't need to have sex with them.
Just because of, couldn't help it.
woken up and they were throwing themselves at me.
You start taking off my clothes.
That's
I had no control.
That's a very good point, by the way. That's a very good point, by the way. It doesn't matter what they do. They can walk into your office stripped down naked.
Yes.
And you still have to be able to say no.
I have a friend that, a lady did that to him. In their office.
Yeah.
He was a pastor.
I've known people too.
They actually do this.
Walking with the trench coat thing.
With the trench coat, yes.
Yeah, I've heard
she
it too.
She walked in, closed the door, and just dropped it and was completely naked.
Yeah,
I said, what did you do? He said, I'll be right back. And he said, I walked out the door and I closed the door and I just ran.
Yeah.
just kept running. I said, what did the lady do? He said, I don't know. Eventually she put her cloak on and left, which is the smart thing to do. The Bible says flee youthful lust. Boy, that was smart. So it doesn't matter, dude, if why they do it. It doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter. It's just someone's throwing themselves at you. You turn them down. And by the way, the more you turn them down, the more they'll flirt with you. It's just crazy, mm-hmm. you know?
And you just have to say no.
Just tell them no. You know what would help? Get a wife. Mm-hmm. If you're that good looking and you're having model babes throw themselves at you, find some nice girl in the church. Obviously, you're interested in sex because you've had sex with two different women. Find a nice girl in the church. Marry the girl. Put one of these on and just let it be known. You know.
But sometimes do guys really think that just a woman being nice is being flirty? Because I've known men.
You've had guys flirt with you. Have you not had guys flirt with you and hit on you?
All I have to do is be nice, and I'm not flirting. I'm just being nice, and they take it that way.
But you're a pretty lady, so guys, it doesn't matter why.
No, I'm just being nice.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter why.
I know.
No, it's a no. That's all you got to do. I, on the other hand, the bald bobblehead man, have not had a lot of this in my life. So I don't really know what that's all about. But it doesn't matter. If they were throwing themselves at me, which they're not, I guess I should be grateful. I'm insulted, but yet grateful at the same time. You know, it wouldn't matter. So it doesn't matter why. Just say
don't
no
go there.
And move on. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
We're back. Mark Gunger, Diane Briley, Phil Gunger, answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships. What have you got there?
She says, first, I would like to say thank you for a very entertaining show with lots of humor at the same time bringing God's truth about relationships.
All right.
Her question is, what, in your opinion, is the main reason why so many married men are caught up in pornography as it is so destructive?
The main reason is because they were doing this before they got married. It's just that simple. Yeah.
That's why married men,
that's why
because
married
they started
men do it,
before they were married.
And that's a major problem. Here's the thing that so many guys don't understand, and I think a lot of churches don't understand it, pastors, teachers. They almost give a pass to the porn, like, well, I know they shouldn't, but they're single and they have to do something. They bought into that lie that they have to do something. You don't have to do anything.
And think that it'll go away when they get married.
They all think it'll go away when they get married. That's where they're making the mistake. It doesn't go away. You guys and you girls who are doing this, masturbating, looking at porn as teenagers and stuff, you think it'll stop when you get married. It doesn't stop. That's why you don't want to do it. Do not do it. What do I do? Get married young. Find someone, get married, and then you can fulfill that desire in a righteous way. But when you do it, that stuff ahead of time, it'll actually damage you, and you can't let go of it. So the main reason so many married men look at porn is because they've been looking at porn, many of them, since they were teenagers. And that's why. It's just that simple. They didn't start this after they got married. This was way before. That's why I encourage women, when you're dating, sad as it is, at some point during the dating process, you have to look the guy in the eye and ask him. And the earlier you do it, the better. Do you look at porn? You'll be able to tell, by the way, he responds if he's lying or not, you know. Because if he does, you need to ask him, when was the last time you did it? Well, if he says, well, a couple of weeks or 2 or 3 months, you let him know, I will not date you until you've gone 1 year without doing any of it. And just lay a standard. And if all Christian women would do this, guys would get a message. Because if they go a year, they'll start getting free from it. But you marry some guy who just keeps doing this, you're going to have a disaster in your marriage. We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
I'm crying out for one more touch, but I confess it won't be enough.
That's just wrong.
Don't want a sabbatical, cause I'm fanatical when it comes.
I'm sorry, that's just wrong.
Why? It's just a girl bird.
Really?
Yeah.
Do the All Blacks really are girls?
Well, no, they're not girls. They're the girl fans. Who are I don't know.
So weird.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger and are watching the Mark Gunger Show. Music of Michael O'Brien there. Check out his music, michaelo.org. Anyway, answering your questions about love, marriage, and relationships, I am Mark Gunger, Diane Briley, Phil Gunger, lovely, pretty Nancy running the camera flying around here, and Crazy Tim pushing buttons, answering your questions about marriage. What do you got?
Okay, she says, my husband and I have been trying to find the right balance with our public display of affection in the home and out. We have 2 children, 8 and 5. I'm extremely grateful for having a husband that has a strong sexual desire for me, and we do have sex regularly. Our concern is where to draw the line on PDA.
Well, you shouldn't have sex in front of the neighbors.
Okay.
That's a line you shouldn't cross.
Okay.
Is that our question?
The husband's perspective is that it's showing our love and that we shouldn't be ashamed or need to hide it. Where is the line?
Sometimes love is inappropriate.
What's appropriate for kids?
Well,
let's
clarify. She's not talking about having sex in front of the neighbors. No. They're just talking about hugging and kissing and touching each other.
What is too much? So I had to ask her what it is that, what are you doing that people are, she said, a few things we do regularly, hold each other closely, standing embrace, or me sitting on his lap, kissing on the neck, behind the ear, on the lips, French kissing. He often gets squeeze my chest and backside. He doesn't do that often when others around, but if he does, they're
often? He grabs your boobs in front of other people?
But if he, no, typically they're in the other room, but it doesn't do it often.
Okay, so it's not in front of people.
So when they're out with other people, they get comments like, get a room. Uh-huh. She says, I can't tell if we're out of line or if people are joking or if they just aren't used to seeing this kind of affection. Our biggest concern is with our children. If these things are inappropriate in public, then it's likely we shouldn't be doing them in front of the kids. We don't want to give the wrong impression.
I think you're fine. You have a normal, healthy sex life. Mom and dad actually like each other. What a terrible thing for your children to see. Oh, how horrible. How horrible that mom and dad actually enjoy each other. I think it's fabulous what you do. And they make these comments usually because they're a little uncomfortable. Who cares? As long as you're not actually doing anything. That's a common joke. You know, as soon as a couple starts kissing, oh, get a room, you know?
Oh, no. But there are people that it is just too much.
If they're happy, she and her happy. If you don't like it, don't be their friends. Don't hang around them.
I'm talking about in front of... Do you recall when we were all in South Africa,
I love South Africa.
Yeah. We were waiting to go out on the ferry out to Robben Island.
Yeah.
And we stood forever in that little stairwell with all the people like cows getting onto a cattle car.
Yeah.
There, and I don't know, they were not very old, you know, like 1920-ish, maybe right behind us. I thought they were going to start doing something right there, right behind us on the stairwell.
But she's not saying that's what they're doing.
But I'm just saying.
But that's not what they're doing. She said they kiss and they flirt.
But if people say, if you're French kissing in front of me, I'm going to tell you to get a room. You don't need to do that in front of me. I'm sorry. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
All right. Well, you wouldn't hang around with them then.
No, I'm not.
All right.
I feel like you have issues you need to be worked out.
But if it's strangers, what are you going to do? Turn around in the stairwell and say, stop it.
Oh, no.
I hate all of you.
Oh,
you can say that to them. You can say, hey, get a room.
I mean, if it was my friends, I guess I would. But it's like strangers, you can't really say that.
Well, what
I
you
don't
do,
like it.
What my friends and I used to do when we were waiting in line, like at Six Flags.
Yeah.
And there always seems to be like some couple that's like just going at it in front of you. We just say loudly, you know, if I were to make out with someone, I'd probably do it like in the line to Batman.
To the Batman ride?
You just loudly say that and then they kind of realize.
Ugh. I just don't like it.
I don't know. We've all seen people who make everybody else uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I get it. And I would say this. They're your friends. Just ask them. Does this really make you guys uncomfortable? They go, it really does. Well, then stop it.
You just tell them okay, sometimes.
Or back off a little bit.
Sometimes
you know?
Love is uncomfortable.
I guess. Because for me, if I'm saying get a room, it's my polite way of saying knock it off. It's not my way of making a joke about it and thinking it's funny.
Okay, but what's the alternative here? The alternative of couples, and it wouldn't surprise me if some of the couples are uncomfortable. They're not getting any, and they're mad, and they hardly ever touch each other, and they're just uncomfortable with it. Here's a Christian couple who actually like being with, and they're still flirting with each other like they were teenagers. I think at some level, that's great. If they really make your friends uncomfortable, then don't do it in front of your friends. I mean, my guess is she's being overly in her, what do you talk it?
Conservative.
I can't think.
Reactive.
No.
Exaggerated.
No.
You have to give me some more clues.
Introspective.
Introspective.
Or when you evaluate yourself. Is that introspective?
Yeah. Yes.
My guess is she's probably just, you know. Again, if they're really that bad, I would think they wouldn't have very many friends. Wouldn't you think?
Or if their friends are always telling them, get a room, get a room, they're trying to give them a clue.
Again, they're your friends. Ask them. Do you think this is over the line? If they say, yeah, you're kind of grossing us out.
Well, and if you're doing it fun and playful.
And then try something else. Do you think this is over the line?
How about that?
Now, I say bravo to both of you.
Is this inappropriate dancing to slow music? Does this make... See, even this made you uncomfortable, Diane. So clearly you have issues.
It just looked like two men to me. I don't know. That's all. Now listen. When you do it all the time.
I don't know. All the things in life to worry about.
You're frequently, I can't say always because I need to stop that, especially with you.
You always say always. You should never say always.
No.
Because you always say it.
You frequently are patting and kissing and squeezing your wife. That does not bother me because you're doing it in...
Because we're old.
Well,
that's why.
No.
You look at old people.
No,
look at them. They're old.
No, maybe it bothers your son.
Maybe.
But it doesn't bother me because you're doing it more fun and playfully. I kid you not, if you came in and started French kissing her, I'd beat you with something. That's just wrong. I mean, you can tell what the intent is, if it's fun and if it's playful. If you're really trying to grab something and get a piece right there, no, that's not okay.
I should just be smarter. So next time I'm around my wife and you're around, I'll say, hey, Diane, can you go grab me something over there?
Yeah, send
and then when
me
you
away.
Turn around, you're like,
Send me away. I am not a freak. Okay, I am.
Your shoes untied, Diane.
Just send me for a glass of water or something and do it while I'm out of the room.
Now, clearly, I think if your friends really are always saying something to you, you probably are over the line a little bit. Although, I got to tell you, in the great scheme of things, this is really low. This is really low on the freaking out thing.
Okay, how about...
To have a couple who still, after children and... years of being together are still acting like teenagers. I think it's fabulous.
I'm not saying that it's
and, not. And I think there's an email coming later. I don't know if we'll get to it in this show or not. Probably not the rate we're going. But, you know, you've got some people who are such prudes about sex that the kids are raised with guilt about sex until they finally get married and say, okay, now you can have sex. And now they feel guilty and they're always uncomfortable. So at least your kids won't have that problem.
Well, I'm not talking about extremes. How about this then? How about it's your teenagers? What's acceptable for you that your teenager sit in the room and do in front of you? Or like your 18, 19, 20, your own kids?
Without a marriage ring, there's no...
Okay, with a marriage ring.
Grabby.
Let's say your son, Philip, here comes over to the house and he's French kissing his wife in your living room. Do you want to see that?
I'm going to start doing it now.
Do you want to see
Okay, I will concede. I think the French kissing thing is over the line.
I will concede that.
The playful kissing on the neck
and
stuff, that doesn't bother me at all. Okay, this is all about French kissing in public, let us have an official statement. No French kissing.
I win.
No French kissing. Look at this one. She's sticking her tongue down.
See, there you go. Don't want that.
Clearly, this is over the line.
For him on radio, he's got two dolls that are making out.
Yeah, and the bird actually has his tongue sticking out of his beak, so there you go.
All right, we're taking a break because I'm totally gross now. We'll be back right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Doctor, can we talk about my case?
about your case. That's why we're here. Mark Unger Show, answering questions about your case. Whatever you have a question about, send it to us. Questions about love, marriage, and relationship. We were just discussing what was appropriate and what makes people feel comfortable and uncomfortable. And we decided French kissing in public is a little too gross. So
of course it is.
We passed on that. But Phil came up with a great thing. He says it's very funny. You know how guys, they all hug each other.
Yes.
You want to have a lot of fun. Next time with a bunch of guys and a guy hugs you, don't let go.
A little bro hug, you know, that two pats on the back.
And you just throw in a,
Just... Instead of the quick hugging guy, let's go. When he starts to let go, just keep hanging on to him.
Oh, dude, sometimes friendship's uncomfortable, man. Hold it right here.
And then,
I gotta try that. That'll be hilarious.
It's quite funny.
The blood will rush, just drain from his face, and all the guys are looking.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, all right, what do you got now?
Next email says, I was just wondering what I should listen to as a Christian one time.
To Mark Unger.
Speaking of music, I guess. One time this pastor said that I could only listen to Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christian music has a great message, but the beat is always dull, so it bores me. I listen to hip-hop, R&B, alternative, rock, dubstep, reggae, blah, blah, blah. Some music is explicit, but as long as it doesn't have a bad message, is it okay?
How can it be explicit and not have a bad message? You blankety blanking, 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 blank. But as long as it's a good message.
Well, it says
there's cursing with a good message.
It says you can have a meaningful song that just happens to have bad words.
I guess you could just cuss at somebody in a good way.
I guess.
We're going to start doing that to you.
Cuss at
hey, Diane!
But the message is
blankety,
right.
Blankety, blank, blank.
But
we mean that in a good way.
So is that okay? Can you listen to explicit music? As long as the message is...
No, I mean, what your pastor's saying is a biblical principle. Whatsoever mm-hmm. things are pure, whatsoever mm-hmm. things are lovely, of good report, think on these things. Does it always have to be Christian music? I don't think it does. I listen to a lot of non-Christian music, but I'm a big boy. I understand sometimes inappropriate stuff will come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I shut it off. I just shut it down. I wait for the song to go past. And then turn it. So if you're listening to hip-hop or whatever, they're singing about, oh, my baby, and driving a car, and whatever, you know, but when they start cursing or talking about screwing some girlfriend or somebody else's wife, you know, turn it off.
You know what?
You wait 3 minutes and then turn it back up again, you know.
Sometimes I think people don't listen to the lyrics because I got myself in a little bit of an uncomfortable situation not that long ago.
You were French kissing a stranger.
No.
That was it.
No. I had his Good Morning America or something on, and that Robin Thicke song he was on, and he was doing it, and that song Blurred Lines, and I was not paying one whit of attention to it. It's got the catchiest little beat, and I'm bopping around the house. I'm going, that's a great song, with my 15-year-old son sitting there. Mm-hmm. And then a couple days later, I thought, oh, I want to find that song again. So I go online. That's not a good song. When you listen to the words, that's a really bad song. And when you see his video, it's a really, really bad video. And then they actually think they have to have an explicit version of that video.
So then I had to
say to my son, that's a really bad song, because I didn't know if he was going to go online. I said, don't go on there. You don't need because.
Yeah, yeah.
But I only listened to like the beat of it and was just going, and it was this great little bop around song.
But then, again, you're an adult woman, mm-hmm. You're gonna be an adult, you know, you're gonna be a teenager and still be an adult, for heaven's sakes. You know, you're a big boy girl. If you're hearing something and it's inappropriate, you're a Christian person, you just shut it off. That's all you gotta do. You skip it over, you go to the next song. I don't think they all need to be Christian, you know, artists or whatever. Anyway, that's my opinion. You want to know my opinion? That's my opinion. All right.
Okay.
What else you got?
Next email says, there is a great man, I mean very great man. Thank you.
By the name of Mark Unger.
That wants to marry me.
Oh, that's not me.
No, that's not you. But he is HIV positive. I'm scared.
Is she positive? He's positive.
Apparently so.
Okay.
I'm scared and not sure if I can do this. What is your advice? And I did ask, how did he contract it? And it was sexual. She's 25. He's 33.
Uh-huh.
First marriage. They were both saved, committed in a local church. We've been friends for 4 years. But previous to his salvation, apparently he was sexually active.
Uh-huh.
Contracted it.
Here's my advice. Marriage is hard. It's really, 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 really hard. Okay? The Bible even says this. Paul said, it's so hard. My advice is, don't get married. That's what he said. It says in the Bible. Mm-hmm. He said, marriage is so hard. I'm trying to spare you. Because he says, those who marry, bless you, will have trouble in this life. It is hard. It is very hard. So if it's under the normal, most perfect circumstances, it's really hard. Why people sign up for stuff that they even know is going to be even harder ahead of time? I don't know why you'd do it. Is there anything immoral or illegal about it? No. And if you have the heart for this guy and you, as my phone goes off, there's a professional thing that a man should have. When he's on television and the radio, leave his phone on so he can grab messages during the program. Now, if you have a heart for this guy and you know going in that this is it, obviously you run the risk of getting it as well. You know, that's your call. I mean, there's nothing immoral about it. There's nothing illegal about it. And if you have the heart to do it, you know, it's not, people sometimes think I say you have to wait for someone perfect to marry. No, you don't have to. I'm just saying marriage is really, really hard. Why not do it under the best of circumstances? That's my advice. You want my advice? If you were my daughter, I would say don't do this. That would be my advice. If I'm your father, I would say to you, don't do it. Life is hard enough. You have no idea how hard this is. You say, then why do people do it? Primarily, it's the only way to righteously fulfill your sexual desire. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, and if you want to have children and stuff like that, now in their case, she probably can never have children, right? Or she'll be exposed to she'll get the HIV.
Well, I would guess.
I mean, the only way is she'd have to wear condoms and have to do all this and be very careful.
I suppose if they did an artificial insemination thing, but I don't know. Like,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That is so complicated. Even if you marry the most perfect guy you can find, for example, this exhibit of the Mark Gunger bobblehead, the perfect man. The Bible even says, Psalms, Mark the perfect man.
I think the context was a little bit different there, friend, but if that's what you want to go with...
It says Mark the perfect man.
Yes. If that's what makes you feel better, honey.
So even if you marry Mark the perfect man, chances are your life is going to be really, 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 really hard, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So my advice, you want my advice? It's not a law. It's just advice. People, relax. My advice is you wouldn't do this. Life is hard enough. But if you are willing to do this, and you just know all the baggage that's coming with it, there's certainly nothing wrong, immoral, or illegal about it. We will take a break and be back with another email right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
Steel with a perfect beard, line so clean no one would know.
Sounds like you're singing about a woman.
Mm-hmm. It's a car?
No.
The sound that skinny body would hold.
The skinny body, $100 experiment, perfect look. You can always rely on her. You're singing about, it's called 57. It's not a car, it's a shirt. SM57 microphone. Pretty funny.
That is funny.
So when we were out at Sturgis, we were playing that song. Mm-hmm. I love Jimmy. Jimmy is so cool because he's got lots of songs where it's just really clear proclaiming the gospel. And then there's a bunch of songs that's just fun. Mm-hmm. He's singing about bologna sandwiches. He's singing about
microphones.
You know, microphones. Bananas. Singing about, he sings about his wife, you know, mm-hmm. you know, dancing and just, I love my baby and all this. And it's just great. And everybody loves it. And these non-Christians really relate to this guy. And then he can share the gospel with them. You don't always have to be chapter and versing people in their face all the time. You know, God loves you. You know, just no wonder people don't want to be around you. Mm-hmm. Be nice. Be a little normal. That's what I love about Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music, jimmybratcher.com. All right, what do you got?
Okay, my question is this. Does God test his people? By that I mean, I have often heard the saying, only the good guy suffers. But to test the strength of his or her faith or character, perhaps God does test us. I would appreciate your thoughts.
It's absolutely clear. God tests his people, yes. Yes, yes. That's not even a question. Why would you even have that question? I'm shocked someone would have that question.
And actually ask it.
Do you not read the Bible? Mm-hmm. Not seriously. I mean, maybe they're really young in their faith.
Well, it's not true that only the good guy suffers. I mean, everybody
all kinds of people
suffers.
Suffer. But read this. Read this. Not this
particular
exact one.
Because we won't answer the door if you come over.
That's mine! Mine! But read the Bible and you'll see. Maybe he's a young Christian and hasn't actually read the Bible. Or there's a lot of people who have been Christians for decades and have never read the Bible. Never. And they're clueless as the day is long. Yes, God will test your faith from, you know, from the earliest time on. The very first test. God puts Adam and Eve in a garden, says to Adam and to his lovely hairy wife, Eve, I got this little hairy doll. I need a girl doll, I guess. I need it's just a fuzzy thing, but maybe it's a fuzzy kiwi lady. And he says to them, you can enjoy the garden. La, 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 la. Just don't eat of the tree. One thing. Why? Because God will always put something there to see if you're going to be obedient. So God tests from the very beginning. Sadly, we so often fail the test.
That's the truth.
Which is very sad. All right. What else you got?
Okay. This one says, I'm 22 and single. My dad's a pastor and sex is never talked about. It's shoved under the rug, only discussed the night before marriage. Because of the lack of discussion.
The night before marriage. Your dad sits down and now starts telling you.
Apparently.
Well, now this here goes in there. Yeah. And that's what you do.
Yes. She says.
Really?
It seems like sex is a shameful, dirty thing.
That's what I did for Phil.
No, you didn't. How?
Now, Phil.
That would have ruined the night.
I'm sure it would have.
It would be horrifying, wouldn't it?
She wants to know.
Yes.
How can I start seeing marital sex as a beautiful thing that doesn't cause embarrassment?
I don't know, sweetheart. Just get comfortable with the way you feel about it, period. I don't know. That's the other thing. Remember, we started out talking about the one couple, they're all hands over each other, and am I traumatizing your children? Well, then you got the other version. See, I would rather that.
Extremes.
I would rather that and your kids grow up knowing sex is a normal, healthy, fun thing than this guy who never talked to his kids about sex and no one ever told them to get a room and they weren't going publicly and all this other kind of stuff, which we all agree is too weird anyway. But now she gets married and now she's expecting, okay, now you can have sex. And every time she has sex, it's always in the context of guilt and shame, which is sad. And hopefully, you know, just work on it and stuff. But she'll probably never in a million years ever be the kind of person that would have publicly be kissing and stuff like that because it's just the way she was raised. So if someone will get comfortable with who you are, it'll be fine, my dear. All right. See ya.